Don't assume living in the United States, this is the model for the world. You're beginning to see retail, you're beginning to see enterprises in certain countries demand certain applications be loaded.
That's Chairman and CEO of Motorola, Ed Zander. This is Podtech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. In this third of three parts to his keynote address, which was delivered as a question and answer session with Gartner analysts Nick Jones and Ken Delaney, Zander talks about why operators and carriers are not necessarily to blame for the lack of uniformity in the way we use our mobile devices and mobile platforms. He also answers some questions from the audience.
Maybe you can help us understand what's blocking some of this. You sort of implied about, one of your descriptions there implies location services being available. You know, we've been tracking that for 8-9 years. It's always been next year. What's holding that up in the operators? What's, you know,
I think
has
you're
clear,
it today.
Clear promise, but it's just
no,
not there.
No, in Europe they have them. I think Verizon now has it. It's starting to, you know, you got to look at, you know, look, I've been around disruptive technology since the 70s. Mm-hmm. We, you know, the PC was invented in 1976, 77, 78. It wasn't until 85, 86, 87 that you got the inflection point. You know, we all talk about the PC industry. 1980, we were using Apple IIs, and they were toys for home use. And it took VisiCalc, it took DRAM, it took the screens. It took the technology, the applications, Lotus 1-2-3, to enable the inflection point of these things.
But we had one thing different. We had Microsoft, whether you like them or not, at the very beginning, to provide some stability for a platform. What we see in the mobile space, every operator is doing their own thing, taking your phones, your version of Java, spinning it differently, making it very difficult for software developers to write once, run everywhere.
If you were across
speaking
the street,
of the Java one, yeah.
Hey, I want to talk. I just came from that across the street. There is a unbelievable scene over there, 15,000 Java programmers, 15,000. I did that 11 years ago with 500. 15,000 Java, and most of what they were discussing, and I went on stage, is mobile. How to basically bring the Java platform into one, write once, run anywhere. We are working, we're announcing today, in fact, our open source for Java. We also announced the Dev Moto for Java. And we're working with some of our major competitors, actually. And you'll see some announcements shortly to unify Java along with Sun and others. So the Java Linux platform is going to be a de facto. In fact, what I brought with me, this is a new version soon to be announced in Asia of our Rocker E2 music phone, first Java Linux. This is the hottest selling phone in China right now, called Ming. Recognizes 13,000 characters.
Ming, the magnificent.
Ming, and it's all Java Linux today. And this is our popular sliver phone, and this is the red thing we just announced, you know, over in UK. That's a Java product. So what you're seeing right now as these networks and applications get developed, and if you go across the street and see the breakout sessions on mobile Java and Java Linux, just stay tuned. I mean, give you an idea, Java was invented 11 years ago, and I remember because I did it in 95, we had a couple hundred people, 96, 97, 98. You got to just take a look at trends, and you got to see where the convergence of disruptive technology is and where the application developers are.
I mean, can I ask, I mean, one of the sort of, this is a very utopian vision, okay, but we come back
utopian?
To the real, utopian vision, you know. You come back to the real world, right, and anything that gets delivered from someone out there with a business proposition onto my phone has to go through an operator, okay, and the operators are very much a constraining channel for innovation
US,
in this space.
Again, I urge anybody like
Europe, not just the US, in Europe where I come from as well, you know.
Hold on. You really got to take a trip with me, because even in Europe, go to UK and Carphone Warehouse. And see what there. We could not have get this announced. We just announced this in London yesterday, with Bono of U2 fame and the Global Fund. This is the first communications device that's being offered as part of the philanthropic thing to fight AIDS and disease in Africa. So Charles Dunstan of Carphone Warehouse organized it. Every operator in the UK signed up because he's going to sell them through Carphone Warehouse. And yesterday we had a big press conference in there. Go to China, which is 1.3 billion people, 300 million users, growing 900 million a year, all sold through retail. So we actually load applications, hold on, in the retail market. India, Italy, emerging markets like Russia, where retail is prevalent and applications get loaded. So don't assume living in the United States, this is the model for the world. You're beginning to see retail, you begin to see enterprises in certain countries demand certain applications be loaded. I'm not saying the carrier, who we're very partnered with, but you know, when we got iTunes done, we worked with the carrier. So Yes, they have to supply a lot of the capability. Yes, we've got to tune it on that platform. Yes, we have to work with them for quality of service. But I think you're beginning to see the more applications, and why I was over there trying to convince 15,000 developers to write mobile applications on Java, because if we can do what we did for the enterprise PC paradigm, enterprise server paradigm for Java, for mobile world, you're going to drive this incredible. And by the way, I was at a VC conference yesterday and spoke. 70% of all VC dollars here in the Valley is at mobile applications or mobile communications type stuff. Play it out a few years and you're just replicating what you saw in 95. It is internet too. You're just trying to solve in 2005 what you couldn't solve in 1995.
I think we agree with what you're saying. I mean, the issue is that you deliver what you believe is a common write once, run everywhere platform. Then the operator comes to you and asks for changes in the hardware, changes for software platform, and that makes the poor developer realize that when they try to ship the software, it doesn't work on every operator.
No, currently, because the problem with this industry is I have a proprietary operating environment. I have a million lines of code of our own. Nokia does their Symbian stuff, and others do, you know, different versions. You got the Bruce stuff from Qualcomm. The idea that a few keys are different, or the fact that they load their own user interface different, has nothing to do with the application. We've got to get Java and Linux write once, run anywhere, and then the applications will run across all these platforms. And that's the burden on us. I mean, we had the same challenge in the enterprise world with enterprise applications, and I think, by and large, Java's done very, very well.
So you understand. Does the operator understand?
Yeah. I think if you talk to them today, you get.
Because I have customers doing global rollouts, and they tell me they got to buy a different phone in every operator. They cannot have one system image for all these different places.
I'll take responsibility. I don't think we provided the right. I don't think Verizon or Singular or T-Mobile cares to be in the software operating system business. Mm-hmm. They just want to get the market and get their ARPUs up. We have to provide what we did. Look, I said I found the same thing in the Unix market. Different fragmented Unixes. Yep. Unix looked like it was the same. We got Java and middleware and you know the NetBeans stuff I just came from and all this common set of APIs to start writing applications that we did get some type of commonality across these different platforms. And I think we're going to see this happen in this world. It is today.
Given your enthusiasm for Java then, could I take that to mean that you think the future for the enterprise phones and things like the queue is not a Microsoft future, but a Java future?
No, and that's where it gets a little more complex, and I have to admit it. You know, whether we like it or not, on my desk today is Microsoft Outlook, and we run our worlds on that. I mean, so we work with Microsoft on, this is probably one of the first mobile 5.0s, not the other ones that they offer, pure Microsoft implementation. It's good for the enterprises that invested in Microsoft because the back-end server now, they don't have to put in a RIM BlackBerry server, for example. They can put in the Microsoft server and have one environment. And it's great for enterprise, you know, enterprise delivery of Microsoft Outlook. And I think there's going to be some battle back and forth. I'm not the decider in that thing. For the mass markets, and let's, you know, I do 200 million of these things a year, or 90 million in the first 6 months so far. The market's a billion. For the mass market to do $40 products or $100 products, you need a very small kernel like Linux, and you need a very secure, predictable Java layer. We do need this. Now, you know, there's a lot of competitors coming on the market. Google's talking about mail, and you got Yahoo-type mail. Enterprises today have Lotus capability, so we're actually working with a third party to try to get Lotus mail on here, too. So I don't pick the winners. We have to enable, as an industry, these applications, and we're never going to get one of anything.
Well, we're running up to the end here, and we have a few questions from the audience, a couple of questions. I guess the first question is about one of the perennial problems in this space, which is the battery. You know, we're always running out of battery life, at least those of us who are not on television programs are always running out of battery life anyway. How much improvement do you expect in battery life on phones and things?
Well, that's probably the biggest challenge. It's funny, we can make devices here that are as complex as anything I've seen in my 25, 30 years, and yet we're limited by the battery life, and the big nirvana is fuel cells, as you know, a lot of development, especially in Asia on this. In the interim, we're working on software algorithms to try to guess how Ed Zander uses this thing and making sure we can optimize uses of battery on here. So most of it right now is around the software architecture of how you implement these things until we can get...
Do you think you're going to have to get a fuel cell that fitted something as thin as a razor? I mean, these things seem pretty chunky.
Don't know. I mean, we have guys working in our labs together with some of the companies over in Asia. I get promising pitches, but I think we've got to crack battery life on here.
So are you ever going to have enough battery life in there where you can put a sticker on that says Sun Server inside?
Well, you know, today, if I told you there are two microprocessors in here, there are a couple of million lines of code, as I said earlier, MP3, MPEG-4 capability, and two operating systems effectively, it's really amazing. I think this device right here is as complex as PCs just several years ago. So
pretty impressive.
And what you have is you have an open world here, unlike the previous world. So you have the rate of innovation right now is open to a lot of us in terms of how we implement it.
Okay, let's take one more question from the audience, which I can see on the screen here. The questioner says, we're a Fortune 250 company with a very mobile workforce. What should the questioner expect the Motorola account team to understand about the business, and how big should that team be, and should they understand about the questions?
Well,
the team,
I think that's,
and things?
That's
they know what a database is.
Yeah, well, we do have, I hate to, you know, I got them here today, they probably feel insulted. We have an enterprise, division that's working inside Motorola. I don't have my ruggedized, maybe I should have brought my other products up here, but I've been in to see, you know, the CEOs of FedEx and UPS and some of the...
You've got to roll out a UPS and FedEx,
and
right?
And US and other accounts around the world. And we have provided mostly in the mobile ruggedized devices or devices to run other aspects of the company. We're coming to market with this. We're working with our carrier, but more importantly, as I said, our enterprise end user sales team. And with some of the big integrators as well as Microsoft to converge on some of the accounts out here to bring Q and other mobile applications in here. And it's going to be, you know, a gradual buildup. I'm not going to say we're going to be all there in day one, but we have experience in dealing with enterprises. And the thing I don't want to leave you with, I mean, I always bring up these toys. I mean, Motorola is a $40 billion company, $20 billion of these things, and the other $20 billion is in public safety. The entire cable wireline networks, a lot of stuff you use in your home today is Motorola, a lot of the back-end infrastructure networks, and also the enterprise area. So we got a lot of understanding of end-to-end networks and how they work and how we can provide some of that capability in the enterprise. So it's a natural extension for us to be, so hopefully I can come back here in a couple of years and everybody out here has seen Motorola as an enterprise player, because that's where it's a natural extension as using these devices. Mm-hmm. I mean, the PC changed in the 90s, late 90s and early part of this decade, use in the enterprise. I think mobile devices will have a more equally, if not more profound impact on our mobile workforces going forward.
So one thing we didn't mention here, we just have a few more minutes. What about your cable box area? What's the vision for the home there?
It's unbelievably big, because what's happened, and I'm so glad we held on to that business, not only is the cable business and what's happening in your homes gotten more interesting as we pipe more video in, but we've extended, we don't call it cable, we call it connected home now in that division, because we're working with AT&T, SBC, Verizon, and most of the other carriers around the world to provide wireline video access and bigger pipes into the home, which means the bottom line for all of you is whether you're satellite, wireline, or cable, over the next 1, 2, 3 years, you're going to get some, I don't know whether it's 50 or 100 megabits per second into your home, which is going to...
50 to 100 megabits.
That's some, I'll even take it down by a factor of two, but with some of the technology, if you believe, for example, Verizon with fiber all the way into the home, you're going to do some amazing things if this thing does happen. So the interesting thing that a wireline or a cable or a satellite company has also thought through is that wireless plays a big part of an Ed Zander life or your lives. Mm-hmm. So the marrying of the wireless capability and the stuff that you have coming into your home is the next big thing. So the home is really the battleground where you keep most of your content, your personal content, and where you get access to a lot of this video and music.
So can I use that as a remote control?
Yeah, well, what the demo we have today, if you were down in Atlanta or Consumer Electronics, yeah, I mean, what I can do is, if I forgot today's Tuesday, right, so it's American Idol night, right? I forgot to tape it, right? I can actually program my DVR from here. I can actually go home and plug this in, as I said, and during the night load the American Idol program on here and then watch it on the way to work or sometime if I'm on a plane or the next day. So what you're seeing in the home is the marrying, or I'd say I take a picture of you right now. send it to my home, either wherever I keep my pictures, or my PC or my media player. So the wireless, the big thought is the wireless world gets integrated to the wireline cable or satellite world over the next several years. In fact, it'll probably happen this year in some areas because we're already doing it with cable companies. And also, as I said earlier, when you put Wi-Fi in here and you connect this to your home network, you're able then to send content around and also make calls eventually off of the VoIP networks of wireline and cable. So it's the same thing with the enterprise. I mean, I think the way we look at it, the Motorola, at the center is me, mobile me. It's all about us, right, as individuals. That was the PC thing. Now internet goes there, we're mobile, and we connect three places in our lives. We connect to our enterprise, we connect to our home, and we connect to the automobile. So anybody who bought a new BMW recently, or a Mercedes, or some of the new GM cars with OnStar, you walk in with Bluetooth Razor, plug it on the seat, or hold it in your pocket, and all of a sudden your entire contact list will come up in the dashboard, and it'll be voice actuated to call mom, call dad, call work. So we made a seamless interface between that. Your kids are in the back seat, you took that American Idol on here, you play it on your screen in the back, or your favorite music, when you load your music on here at night, which I have music on all these devices, play it on the console with Bluetooth inside your car stereo system. So the idea is get the complexity out. Your content goes with you, whether it's your office stuff, whether it's your home stuff, and you move seamlessly between these environments. And that's the big thing we're working on. And check back with us in a couple of years. But you know, you got to have the vision like we did around the internet in the mid to early 90s. And I think there's a lot of people working on it. We have to work with the enterprise customers out here. So sometimes our dreams and our have to be brought down to earth in terms of what the realities are today and tomorrow. And there's a lot of issues I didn't mention around security, around DRM, mm-hmm. around privacy, around how you do some of these things that we're working on right now. But you know, it's going to take a little bit of more computer science and more work to get it done. But I've always said, you look at convergence of technologies, and there's three things that are happening, and that is, you know, broadband is finally happening. 3G, 4G networks. Two, everything gets digitized, you know, music, audio, video, and data. And third is everything gets connected, and not just people, but things. So all of your assets mm-hmm. get tracked, you know, light bulbs, thermostats, everything gets connected to the net, and everything gets mobile. So once you think about that in terms of running your company, I mean, you can imagine my supply chain that I have at Motorola. Well, if we can get assets tracked in my supply chain through mobile communications, I can't tell you what that would do to make me more competitive.
Great.
Okay, well, we're out of time, unfortunately, because it's a great discussion, very interesting to hear your visions of the future, and I've got to thank you for sharing them with us. And
thank
it's
you.
Been great.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed.